Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 163, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. O Lord my God, most earnestly, my heart would seek thy face within thy holy house once more to see thy glorious grace. And what follows in all the stanzas of Psalter 163. Thank you.
the portion of God's Word that we wish to read in this morning hour. You can find recorded in the Epistle of Paul to the Ephesians and thereof the third chapter. Ephesians 3, but first we will read the Holy Law of the Lord. And God spake all these words, Exodus 20, Deuteronomy 5, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Ephesians chapter 3. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you ward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world had been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he proposed in Christ Jesus, our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen.
We hope to remember in prayer Mr. Conrad van Heerden, who is yet in the hospital in Lethbridge. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and eternal Lord, we may gather together in this morning hour in thy house of prayer, because it is once again thy holy day, and thou still givest unto each and every one of us our life, a measure of health and of strength in this morning hour, for which we may acknowledge thee, for it is above so many in this world. Him that lies in the hospital thou knowest. Thou knowest how that it was in the week that is gone by, that things have looked so very, very serious. But thou hast given some improvement to this moment, for which that we may acknowledge thee once again. Wilt thou remember him further with his wife, with his family? Grant him healing in the body. Grant him also what is necessary in his soul. For we travel together to a great eternity, and the callings they are coming unto us. There are others also in our midst that have special needs. That receives treatments for a serious disease. Thou knowest the weakness of her body, and that thou may remember her also in the continuance of this way, which is by times very difficult, that thou may supply for her in the bodily needs, that thou may visit her also from above in the need of her soul, for she also travels altogether with us, and we know not how long that our life shall yet be. There are others in our midst, there are others also that have relatives that do suffer. Lord, thou knowest each and every one, that thou may supply for all those that have special needs of the body or of the mind, and that thou wilt hear the cry and save the souls of those to whom death draws nigh. Lord, that thou may instruct each and every one of us also upon our journey to that great eternity, because it is thy holy day. And we go about our labors each and every day again to do the work of our hands. But thou givest us a day wherein thou sayest that we may stop therefrom, and that we may cease from all our work, that we may meditate upon thee, from where that we have come and unto where that we are going. And thou givest unto us this great privilege, oh, that it may also be the living desire in the heart of young and old together. And when we are also gathered in this morning in a special way in thy house of prayer, that we may also commemorate that holy sacrament that thou hast instituted so long ago for the welfare of thy church. And then it is that it may be a sign not only, but that it may be also a seal unto those whom thou hast chosen, and that it may be for the strengthening of that faith that thou hast planted in the heart of those whom thou hast called out of nature's darkness into thy marvelous light. But thou knowest the fears that may be living in the hearts just of such ones, even in this morning hour. For thy work is such that a man will fear to deceive himself upon that journey to eternity. And then it is not the desire of thy children to be before other men so much in this world. But it is a religion that is of the inner closet. It is that which is between thee and their soul. But then there does come a time where thou dost call them forth from that secret life. And thou dost call them to give also a testimony in the midst of the congregation, in the midst of the brethren, that not of who and what they are in themselves, but who and what thou art for them. Oh, that it may live a little, and that a little, that it may burn a little with desire in this morning hour, that there may be those who may in this morning have a little desire to say, come and hear all ye that fear God, and I will tell you what he has done unto my soul. O Lord, thou knowest the heart that it is crying after thee because the sin that rises up against them, prevailing day by day. And then the questions and the riddles can also be so many in this morning hour. Whether that it is a work that is begun by me, or whether that it is a work that has begun in heaven. O Lord, that thou thyself may give a little light, that thou may give a little opening in thy holy word, that we may receive what is necessary to take forth the precious from the vile, that from the housetops may be proclaimed in this morning what does take place in the inner chamber. Thou alone art able to give it, and that thy children may be given to hear their own name, and that it may be amongst the brethren of thy children, and that they may receive that freedom, whether for the first time in this morning, or whether it be by renewal, to approach unto thy holy table, and that thou may remember us in a special way also, if we indeed do deceive our souls, for we journey to meet thee. And no man that is able to look into our heart, though we are able to see what the life is. But thou, when we appear before thee, wilt have an eye as a flame of fire. And when thou dost not perceive and see thy own work within, then it shall be an awful thing in that day, when men will say, many works have we done in thy name, And thou shalt answer, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. O Lord, that thou then wouldst undeceive us, if it is so with us this day, that we would not put forth our hands to take that which belongeth unto thy children, but that thou may grant us then a true conversion. Oh, could it be even for the first time in our life, that our eyes may go open to see our wretched state and condition, and that we may be given that cry with a smiting upon our breast, O God, be merciful unto me, the sinner. Remember those that do stand so far off in this morning. Thou knowest where that they are, and then it may be with a holy jealousy. Oh, that thou may give, that in thy time they also may be given light upon thee, and that they may be able to partake also of that which is the joy and the rejoicing of thy church. Do look upon us as a congregation. How many are we? But how few that are able to make such a testimony in this morning hour. O Lord, that thou may increase the number of thy true church. O that in this morning hour, that true desire, that true work of thee may be begun, that it may be born, and that the jealousy for the portion of thy people, that desire, as a Ruth of old, thy people, my people, and thy God, my God, may be born in the hearts of young and old together. Lord, that thou so may watch over us then in this morning. We stand in need of strength also, strength for our body. Lord, thou knowest all our needs, and that thou who hast made us, and that thou who upholdest us every moment, may also strengthen us in this morning, that we may receive what is necessary to do all things decently and in order. But could it please thee also to fill our soul with the unction of thy Holy Spirit, that we may be able to bring forth things new and old out of thy law. Oh, that the meek may be able to eat and to be satisfied, and that truly thou thyself, Lord, may be in the midst of us. Take reasons then out of thyself to look upon us in thy mercy, and to bless this word and sacrament. And may it be to the strengthening of thy people, and that most holy faith, and the ability to go forward in that warfare, which must be endured even until the day, and that they do lay down this body of sin and death. Lord, remember us then. Care for all thy truly sent servants over the length and breadth of this whole world, those that go forth in our own congregations, thy servants also, the students. Oh, do give help to be felt from the sanctuary, and that thou wouldst give an increase in the number of those who may go forth for the salvation of thy church. Lord, remember the children, remember the young people. Oh, that thou may give also in this morning true and living impressions in the days of their youth, that they may remember their Creator in those days, and that that love of thee, that first love may be born even in their young age. Oh, do it, Lord, for the sake of thy great and holy name, and for the sake of him in whom thou art so well pleased. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 228, all the stanzas. Lord God of hosts in mercy, my supplication here, Almighty and all faithful, our Father's God, give ear. The last collection today is for the disaster fund, Psalter 228, stanzas 1, 2, and 3.
Thank you.
Congregation, last week, by way of preparation, we began the consideration of a Lord's Day at 21 and the 55th question. And we wish to read that once again in the beginning of this service. Lord's Day 21, question 55. What do you understand by the communion of saints? Answer: first, that all and everyone who believes, being members of Christ, are in common partakers of Him and of all His riches and gifts. Secondly, that everyone must know it to be his duty readily and cheerfully to employ his gifts for the advantage and salvation of other members, which we said that speaks about the communion of the saints and of those three parts that we have heard in the first place, the essence of that communion, which we found in the communion with Christ. Being members, we said, being members of Christ, being partakers of Him, the essence of that communion. And in this morning, we wish, with the Lord's help, to say a few words about the participation in that communion, and we find that also in this answer, because it speaks about all and everyone who believes that they are in common partakers of Him and of all His riches and gifts. And thus, the participation in that communion. And we wish to take our text in this morning once again from 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And we have considered last time the 16th verse. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? But now the participation in this communion, and that is spoken of in the next verse, in the 17th verse of 1 Corinthians 10, for we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. So far the words of our text, which speak about the participation in the communion of the saints, or now the communion of the saints with one another. And then our first thought, that is that they are many. It says, for we being many. Our second thought, that is that they are one. Because it says, for we, being many, are one bread and one body. Thus, the participation in the communion of the saints, or the communion of the saints with one another. And that is, first, they are many, and secondly, they are one. For we, being many, thus the church that is consisting of many. That is, according to what we read in God's word, that He has spoken unto Abraham of old, when He brought him outside of his tent, and when He has said to him that he must now look up into the heavens, and that he must behold the stars in the sky. And the Lord, He has promised him, and that his seed that shall be as the multitude of the stars in the sky, which are not able to be numbered. For we, being many, that is not just the natural seed of Abraham, which also was a great multitude of people, but the spiritual seed of Abraham, which will be indeed an innumerable multitude. And so the apostle says, for we being many, that is, that they are those from every nation that is in this whole world. That is something that was not understood by the Jewish nation so well before, but that did now become plain in the time of the Apostle Paul. Because Paul, he writes to the Ephesians that he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Who hath made both one. Who is that both? That both that is the Jewish nation and the Gentiles. Who hath made, he says, both one, that is one church, having broken down the middle wall of partition that was between them. What was that middle wall of partition? That was the law of the ceremonies. That is what divided that Jewish nation from all the heathen, that they were not participants in that which the Lord had given in a very special way unto his own church. And for what reason? Paul says that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs. He says, and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Of the same body and also partakers of that same promise. And therefore, he says that there is neither Jew nor Greek, and there is neither rich nor poor, and that there is neither bond nor free, and that there is neither male nor female, but that they are all one in Christ Jesus. And thus there will be those that are of the Jewish nation. There will be those who are Romans. There will be those who come from Europe. There will be those who come from China or from Korea. And there will be those who come from America, from Mexico, from Canada. Thus, Paul says, for we being many. And when that whole gathering shall come together, then how many also of us as a congregation who may have heard that word every Sabbath again and been witnesses or participants in that holy supper of the Lord and shall also be numbered among that people of whom Paul says, for we being many. Paul says there is neither male nor female, that is, that there is both male and female, and we read of many of the men in the Word of God, but then we read also of the many women. Think also of a Ruth and how that she was brought out of Moab. Think about her mother-in-law, Naomi. Think about an Esther of old. Think about a Mary Magdalene. Thus, male and female. There will be young. There will be old. Methuselah was 969 years old. But there will also be young boys and girls. Think about Samuel. You know the story. and how young that he was when the fear of the Lord was living in his heart. Does that live also in your heart, children? Think of David when he was just a young boy and caring for those sheep for his father on the fields of Bethlehem. And there his heart also may go out after the Lord God of Israel. For we being many, there will be those that are wise. Think about Solomon and all the wisdom that was given to him in a spiritual and a natural way. And then there will be even those such as Onesimus, just the slaves, just the servants of men in this world. And they are one with that church. There will be those who have no education, and then there will be those even as a Moses who were brought up in all the wisdom and the knowledge of the Egyptians. For we being many, there will be those of every character. There will be those who are very forward in their character, even as a Peter. There will be those who are very loving in their character, even as a John. There will be those who, as a Moses, we read that he was the meekest man on the whole earth. What different upbringings, what different lifestyles that they will come from. What different backgrounds that they will have. Some of them, they will have been religious persons. Think even of the Apostle Paul himself, Saul of Tarsus, a Pharisee of the Pharisees, the strictest, we would say, of the Pharisees, and then converted by the Lord. And then there will be those even as the publicans, even as a Levi, even as the chief of the publicans. And so Paul says, for we, being many, there will be those who have lived an outwardly good life. Think about a Timothy from the days of his youth. And then there will be those who have lived a very wicked life. Think about a Manasseh. For we, being many, a multitude that no man can number, and that will be from the beginning of time. Even as Adam, and as Eve, and as Abel, and Noah, and Enoch, as a Peter, a John, a James, a Paul, as a Calvin, as a Luther, and then who also from our time will be gathered now with this people. For we being many are one bread and one body. Thus in our second thought, they are also one. How? He says, because ye are part, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Thus, that is now the union. They are united in such a way. How? By partaking of that bread. Paul, Paul says, since it is one bread, we the many are one body. For we are all partakers of that one bread. Since it is one bread, we the many are one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Is it then partaking of that supper of the Lord that is making a man to be united unto that body? No, We heard it is what is symbolized therein. That is that Christ himself and a communion with him is what is now uniting that body, so that that body is now also one body. So Paul says, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. One of another. That's not only the communion with Christ, but what that is now bringing forth in that body, that is to be members of one another. For, he says, ye are all the children of God through Christ Jesus. Thus, there is one fold, and that is under one shepherd, that is one spiritual body. Because the Lord Jesus, he said at that time, other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they will hear my voice, and there shall be one fold, and there shall be one shepherd. And that shepherd, he is feeding that flock with that one food. We have heard and that some, they are fed with milk, and others, they need to be fed with meat. And yet, the essence of it, that food which Christ is feeding his church with, that is really only one. And so it is the desire of that church to seek after him and after that food that he is giving unto his flock. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, and where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon, for why should I be as one that turneth aside and unto the flocks of thy companions? Thus, the desire to know where he is, and that he would also feed me with that food that is nourishing the souls of each and every one of his own flock. When he is making the church to rest and to feed upon a broken body, to rest and to feed upon a blood that has been poured out from himself. When did that begin? That began immediately after the fall. We can read that then the Lord instructed already our first parents, that is, in the necessity of that sacrifice. Because what did he do? Well, they have in their shame, and because of their sin, tried to cover themselves with a covering that could not cover them, fig leaves. And the Lord, he took it all away, as he taken it all away from you too. That which cannot cover. And the Lord, he stripped them bare, and he exposed them in their shame. And then they had to stand before him as those that were guilty. And then what did he do? Then the Lord himself, he has taken an animal and shed blood. And out of this have come the garments which have clothed our first parents. And now, congregation, we read even of their descendants. We read of Abel, how that he has partaken in that same communion, that our first parents may be instructed in, and that they may partake in. Abel. Not Cain, but an Abel who was taught by the Lord. When he has taken of the firstlings of his flock, and when he has offered as a burnt offering unto the Lord. How is it? We have heard that a few weeks ago. It is because there was a hope in it. There was an expectation that was living in his heart. And Abel was in this way showing unto all his posterity what? That he was one of that church. Because then he also had a hope and an expectation in the shedding of that blood that was to come forth many, 4,000 years after that time. And now when we speak about the church and the communion that is within that church with one another, and then this is that communion that we may speak about. It is that communion concerning the essence of the matter. It is that communion with Christ himself. It is that need for that blood. It is that need for that breaking of that body of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is now the communion of that church. And they are one with one another. That is, with one another in this life as they may live. But also one with all the saints of old. As we can read it even from our first parents. And so we can read it also further. What did the Lord say to the children of Israel when they were laying in that land of Egypt? He said to them, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And then what happened? Well, then on each and every one of those homes of the children of Israel, then there was blood upon the lintel and upon the two side posts. Why? There was a hope. There was an expectation for their life. And it was all in that blood. And so they were joined in this. They were joined in this as many people, Paul says. But they were joined in this even as one man. Then it was a blood that was not found upon the doors of the Egyptians, no. Because they were not one with that people. And we know it was in an outward way. But then there were also those among that people for whom it was also an inward hope. An inward expectation. And that in this expectation, not one of the people was ever put to shame. For we, being many, are one bread and one body. For we are all partakers of that one bread. The Lord brought his people into the wilderness. Then we read that there was then an altar, a tabernacle, and there was there an altar. And it was now the way that the Lord has said that I may tabernacle among you, that I may be with you. And what was that way? What do we read about that fire on that altar? We read that that fire that may never go out, that fire that was to be ever burning. Why? Well, because it was a people that were gathered around that fire. It was a people that were gathered around that altar, that is in communion with one another, with one hope, with one expectation. Every morning, for that people who woke in the morning, and with sin upon their conscience, with the burden of sin living in their hearts, for all that had taken place even in the night, then every morning, then that morning sacrifice that was offered, and then every evening again, before that they went to bed, then once again, the evening sacrifice that was coming upon that altar. Do you understand it? It was a people. They were gathered around that sacrifice with one hope and with one expectation for their life. Did it end there? We can spend many, many hours, could we not, to lay out that hope of the church of all ages. What did Samuel do? And the enemy was there, the Philistines. And the children of Israel, they feared for that enemy. And then we read that Samuel, he took a sucking lamb and he offered him for a whole burnt offering unto the Lord. And then he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord heard. Why that offering first? Well, because else the Lord cannot hear. But now that hope and that expectation that is all coming around that sacrifice, for we, Paul says, being many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. What did Paul say? What did David say? He said, blessed is the man whose transgressions are forgiven. Forgiven. Whose sin is covered. Why did he say that? Because he could not pay it. He could not pay it. And now there is a people who may have communion also with David in this. That is the communion of the church. Blessed is now the people whose transgressions are forgiven. Because with all my efforts, I cannot come one step closer to making it right with God. Was there communion with him in the church so many years later? Then we hear that man upon the cross and he says, we indeed justly. We received the due reward of our deeds. But his eye was given to look upon him. Upon him who was guiltless. Who was sinless. His eye was given to look upon him. And in his heart, a hope. A hope. And an expectation for a man who had not even any more opportunity. He is in the end of his life. And there that man, he may have communion with the church of all ages, with the church of all ages, when he may say, Lord, remember me, when thou comest into thy kingdom, because there was only one way that he could be remembered, and that was through that sacrifice that was now hanging before his eyes. Oh, do we know something of that hope? Do we know something of that communion? Read in the Bible of a man that has filled Jerusalem with innocent blood from one end to the other. That was a wicked man. Filled Jerusalem. And that man came in the prison. And where did he come in the prison? He came on his knees. On that hard earth. How is it possible that such a man could bend his knees? How is it possible? You would say in that man, there could be not the smallest particle of hope or of expectation, because it is a man who deserved, truly deserved, to be condemned for innocent blood many, many times over. But that man, he came on his knees. And there is only one way that Manasseh could come on his knees. And that is that he had communion. Communion with that church of all ages. That he was given to see something of that sacrifice. Of the freeness of free and sovereign grace. And that is not only for justification, but that is now also for sanctification. The Apostle Paul, he says Christ loved his church and he gave himself for it. What a love. And what was the reason? He says that he might sanctify and cleanse it. That he may present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot and not having wrinkle. Did not Paul himself testify of his own hope for this cleansing, his own need for it? In the blessed communion with that church, and when he cried out, "O wretched man that I am," he could not change his life, as it were. But now in communion with that church, then the apostle, he is looking for a cleansing that is coming out of that shed blood. What did the bride say? She said, "I am black. I am black but comely, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon." What a communion. What a communion. That is now the testimony of the entire church of God. From the beginning of the world, and it will be to the last one who enters in, black as the tents of Kedar, but comely as the curtains of Solomon. Oh, do we know the smallest part of that communion? For we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Is it any wonder, congregation, that the Emmaus travelers were so sad when they had to miss him? When they had to miss him so sorely. And we read there of the communion of the saints. How? Well, we read not of two hearts, but we read of one heart. Did not our heart burn within us? And when he talked with us by the way, and when he opened to us the scriptures, and of what we read of the things concerning himself. Of the things concerning himself. And when those things concerning himself though he was so hid from them, though their eyes were so closed for him, even as he spake, when he spake of those things concerning himself. That was the hope that they had. They expressed it so, that he would have redeemed Israel, which hope now lay in the grave. Well, when he spoke of those things concerning himself, then the heart, the one heart of the true church of God, that began to burn. It began to burn. Why? Because they were not strangers of him. It was a hope. It was an expectation. Though it was so far now gone from them, and still it was not altogether dead. And now, congregation, are there also such ones in the midst of us that say, O Lord, wilt thou appear to me again? Wilt thou show thyself again? Wilt thou reveal thyself again? Wilt thou open thy word to me? Wilt thou speak unto my soul? Wilt thou give me to see thee? Show me, Lord, once thy hands. Show me once again thy sight. May the Lord so fulfill the desires and the petitions of such ones in the midst of us, and to grant it unto those who have never known them. Amen. We will now hear the form read from the back of your Psalter.
Form for the administration of the Lord's Supper, you can find on page 136. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, attend to the words of the institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, as they are delivered by the Holy Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11, the verses 23 to 29. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. That we may now celebrate the supper of the Lord to our comfort is above all things necessary. First, rightly to examine ourselves. Secondly, to direct it to that end for which Christ had ordained and instituted the same, namely to his remembrance. The true examination of ourselves consists of these three parts. First, that every one consider by himself his sins and a curse due to him for them, to the end that he may abhor and humble himself before God, considering that the wrath of God against sin is so great that rather than it should go unpunished, he had punished the same in his beloved Son, Jesus Christ, with the bitter and shameful death of the cross. Secondly, that everyone examine his own heart, whether he does believe this faithful promise of God, that all his sins are forgiven him, only for the sake and the passion of the passion and death of Jesus Christ, and that the perfect righteousness of Christ is imputed and freely given him as his own, yea, so perfectly, as if he had satisfied in his own person for all his sins and fulfilled all righteousness. Thirdly, that everyone examine his own conscience, whether he propose it henceforth to show through thankfulness to God in his whole life and to walk uprightly before him, as also whether he had laid aside unfeignedly all enmity, hatred, and envy, and as firmly resolve henceforward to walk in true love and peace with his neighbor. All those then who are thus disposed, God will certainly receive in mercy and count them worthy partakers of the table of his Son, Jesus Christ. On the contrary, those who do not feel this testimony in their hearts eat and drink judgment to themselves. Therefore, we also, according to the command of Christ and the Apostle Paul, admonish all those who are defiled with the following sins to keep themselves from the table of the Lord, and declare to them that they have no part in the kingdom of Christ, such as all idolaters, all those who invoke deceased saints, angels or other creatures, all those who worship images, all enchanters, diviners, charmers, and those who confide in such enchantments, all despisers of God and of his word, and of the holy sacraments, all blasphemers, all those who are given to raise discord, sects and mutiny in church or state, all perjurious persons, all those who are disobedient to their parents and superiors, all murderous, contentious persons, and those who live in hatred and envy against their neighbors, all idolaters, whoremongers, drunkards, thieves, usurers, robbers, gamesters, covetous, and all who lead offensive lives. All these, while they continue in such sins, shall abstain from this meat, which Christ had ordained only for the faithful, lest their judgment and condemnation be made the heavier. But this is not designed, dearly beloved brethren and sisters in the Lord, to deject the contrite hearts of the faithful, as if none might come to the supper of the Lord, but those who are without sin. For we do not come to this supper to testify thereby that we are perfect and righteous in ourselves, but on the contrary, considering that we seek our life out of ourselves in Jesus Christ, we acknowledge that we lie in the midst of death. Therefore, notwithstanding, we feel many infirmities and miseries in ourselves, as namely that we have not perfect faith, and that we do not give ourselves to serve God with that zeal as we are bound, but have daily to strive with the weakness of our faith and the evil lusts of our flesh. Yet since we are, by the grace of the Holy Spirit, sorry for these weaknesses, and earnestly desires to fight against our unbelief and to live according to all the commandments of God. Therefore, we rest assured that no sin or infirmity, which still remaineth against our will in us, can hinder us from being received of God in mercy, and from being made worthy partakers of this heavenly meat and drink. Let us now also consider to what end the Lord had instituted his supper, namely that we do it in remembrance of him. Now after this manner are we to remember him by it. First, that we are confidently persuaded in our hearts that our Lord Jesus Christ, according to the promises made to our forefathers in the Old Testament, was sent of the Father into the world, that he assumed our flesh and blood, that he bore for us the wrath of God, under which we should have perished everlastingly, from the beginning of his incarnation to the end of his life upon earth, that he had fulfilled for us all obedience to the divine law and righteousness, especially when the weight of our sins and the wrath of God pressed out of him the bloody sweat in the garden, where he was bound that we might be freed from our sins, that he afterwards suffered innumerable reproaches, that we might never be confounded, that he was innocently condemned to death, that we might be acquitted at the judgment seat of God, yea, that he suffered his blessed body to be nailed on the cross, that he might fix thereon the handwriting of our sins, and had also taken upon himself the curse due to us, that he might fill us with his blessings, and had humbled himself unto the deepest reproach and the pains of hell, both in body and soul, on the tree of the cross, when he cried out with a loud voice, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" That we might be accepted of God and never be forsaken of him, and finally confirmed with his death and shedding of his blood the new and eternal testament, that covenant of grace and reconciliation, when he said, "It is finished." Secondly, and that we might be firmly believe that we belong to this covenant of grace, the Lord Jesus Christ, in his last supper, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." In like manner also after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and said, "Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you and for many, for the remission of sins. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me." That is, as often as ye eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you shall thereby, as by a sure remembrance and pledge, be admonished and assured of this my hearty love and faithfulness towards you, that whereas you should otherwise have suffered eternal death, I have given my body to the death of the cross and shed my blood for you, and I certainly feed and nourish your hungry and thirsty souls with my crucified body and shed blood to everlasting life. as this bread is broken before your eyes, and this cup is given to you, and you eat and drink the same with your mouth, in remembrance of me. From this institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, we see that he directs our faith and trust to his perfect sacrifice once offered on the cross, as to the only ground and foundation of our salvation, wherein he has become to our hungry and thirsty souls the true meat and drink of life eternal. For by his death he had taken away the cause of our eternal death and misery, namely sin, and obtained for us the quickening spirit, that we by the same who dwelleth in Christ as in the head, and in us as his members, might have true communion with him, and be made partakers of all his blessings, of life eternal, righteousness, and glory. Besides that we, by this same Spirit, may also be united, as members of one body, in true brotherly love. As the holy apostle said, "For we, being many, are one bread and one body. For we are all partakers of that one bread. For as out of many grains one meal is ground, and one bread baked, and out of many berries being pressed together, one wine floweth and mixeth itself together. So shall we all, who by a true faith are engrafted into Christ, be altogether one body, through brotherly love for Christ's sake. Our beloved Savior, who hath so exceedingly loved us, and not only shown this in word, but also in very deed towards one another, here to assist us, the Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, through his Holy Spirit. Amen."
That we may obtain all this, let us humble ourselves before God and with true faith implore his grace. O most merciful God and Father, we beseech thee that thou wilt be pleased in this supper, in which we celebrate the glorious remembrance of the bitter death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to work in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, that we may daily, more and more, with true confidence, give ourselves up unto thy Son, Jesus Christ, that our afflicted and contrite hearts, through the power of the Holy Ghost, may be fed and comforted with his true body and blood. Yea, with him, true God and man, that only heavenly bread, and that we may no longer live in our sins, but he in us and we in him, and thus truly be made partakers of the new and everlasting covenant of grace. That we may not doubt, but thou wilt forever be our gracious Father, nevermore imputing our sins unto us, and providing us with all things necessary, as well for the body as the soul. As thy beloved children and heirs, grant us also thy grace, that we may take up our cross cheerfully, deny ourselves, confess our Savior, and in all tribulations with uplifted heads expect our Lord Jesus Christ from heaven, where he will make our mortal bodies like unto his most glorious body, and take us unto him in eternity. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Strengthen us also by this holy supper in the Catholic undoubted Christian faith whereof we make confession with our mouths and hearts, saying, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe and Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. That we may be now fed with the true heavenly bread, Christ Jesus, let us not cleave with our hearts unto the external bread and wine, but lift them up on high in heaven, where Christ Jesus is our advocate at the right hand of his heavenly Father, whither all the articles of our faith lead us, not doubting, but we shall as certainly be fed and refreshed in our souls through the working of the Holy Ghost with his body and blood as we receive the holy bread and wine in remembrance of him. And while the table is being prepared, let us sing from Psalter 419, the first three stanzas. Forth from thy courts, thy sacred dwelling, in jubilant accord, we hear sweet strains of praises swelling. O Israel's mighty Lord. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 419.
Thank you.
beloved congregation. A week of preparation once again lies behind us, and the Holy Supper of the Lord, which He has commanded to be commemorated till He come, and that is now prepared in our midst, and this table and that is now open for us as a congregation. We read here the Apostle Paul says, I speak as to wise men, judge ye what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless and so on. I speak as unto wise men, he says, that are able to make a judgment. That means children, boys and girls, and that you, even though it is possible, and that you have the true fear of the Lord in your young hearts, and we hope that you may ask for that, and then it is not that we ask you to come forth to this table, because it is a people that must be able to make a judgment. And it is a judgment that must be made of the holy things that they are not partaken for their natural use, but that they are partaken as a symbol, and that they are partaken of as a sign. Judge ye what I say. Thus, it is not, congregation, our judgment, but it is now your judgment. Each one of you that must make a judgment, and that concerning your own selves. And what is that judgment? And that is actually, in simple words, and what think ye of Christ? What think ye of Christ? For we, being many, are one bread and one body. It is a church that is many, but it is a church that is one. It is a church that is from all the nations of the world, of young and old, of men and women, and so on. But it is a church that is one, and is that church also now to be found among us? Are there those who may find their life written in the Word of God, explained by those who have gone before, the desires, the needs in the heart being written before, so that you find your own life's desires and your own life's needs to be explained therein, and that concerning especially what? Well, he says that it is, we are all partakers of that one bread. And thus, there now are those in our midst, with the church of all ages, that must say, even with David, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. Because that is a people who may be in communion with the need for that blood. But not only with the need, but have you ever seen the suitability? Ever has his blood become the balm for the wound that the law has made in your soul? Then come. If ever that blood has been meat for you, for your hungry soul, has been drink for your thirsty soul, and then in that communion with that church, that communion in Christ himself, then Christ says, do this in remembrance of me, and then come, for all things are ready. Congregation, there is yet place. Are there those who may rejoice in the gladness of his nation? Are there those that may know something of the leaping of the heart? The leaping of the heart because that Christ, he has died upon that cross. We have read together in the book of Ephesians how that Paul speaks about a revelation, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, whereby when ye read ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed by his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, a mystery. It was revealed to Paul. It was something new to the Hebrew church. What was the mystery that they had never before really seen? Had been in the Old Testament by little parts, fits and spurts, as it were, but something new in the coming of Christ. What was it? Well, he says that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. That was so new. And now are there some that understand this? That by the revelation, by the opening of the Spirit of the Lord, that this has become so new? Gentiles, sinners, those that were on the outside, brought on the inside, and then something that you had never seen before, so that your heart leaped for joy. And because it became possible also in such a way for you. And then your hope was in communion with the church in those moments by faith, in that grace, in the blood, in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are there any yet who desire to show forth his death till he come? Then we will close this table. The bread which we break is the communion, the body of Christ. Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. The cup of blessing which we bless is the communion of the blood of Christ. Drink ye all of it. Remember and believe that the blood of Christ was shed for the complete remission of all our sins. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Thus Paul speaks about the whole family. Thus it is not a family, for we are many families here in this world. But he speaks about the family. Thus he speaks about the family of God. Thus it is speaking about the communion of the saints, because within the family, then there is such a blessed communion when it is right. The same as the communion between the members of the body, so Christ speaks about the communion within the members of the family. But he says that he bows his knees unto the Father of that family, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family and in heaven and earth is named. Thus, not a family only upon the earth, but that family, that portion of that family, has already gone before. And so it will be a great church from the beginning even unto the end. And it is all named after, it says, our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. There is now the union. There is now the communion that may be between the members of that church. Whatever differences that those members may have in this world, still there may be that communion between those members in this world. He says that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, to be strengthened. And now this supper that is set forth by the Lord exactly for that purpose, and that his church may be strengthened. And why would the Lord give an institution to strengthen? It is but because and that he understands the weakness. And so he gives something to strengthen. And what is it? With might by his Spirit in the inner man. There is an inner man. There is not an inner man in everyone in this world. But there is an inner man in that family, in the whole family. because they are one. And that inner man that is opposed, we read in God's word, to the flesh, that is, to the outward man, and that is now in a special way where the Lord sees the need that that inner man will be strengthened, because there is a warfare between that inner man and the outward man. And unless that the Lord will strengthen that spiritual man, he will strengthen the inner man, then how many times do we not fear that then the outward man, he is going to have the preeminence. And so the Lord will strengthen with might, that they may be victorious in that warfare, in that battle. And in what way? He says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that he may dwell there. It is by his Spirit in the inner man, that is the Spirit of Christ to dwell in the heart. And this is now the strength that is so necessary in that inner man, in that warfare, because how many times do we not now succumb in this world to all the temptations of the prince of darkness and to all that is living still in our flesh, and so that there are times that we would hardly bend our knees, that as a Manasseh, that you would say that it becomes so impossible yet. And so he says he will strengthen in that inner man when Christ may dwell in your hearts, and when something of this sacrifice may be continually in our hearts, then as a Manasseh who had filled Jerusalem with innocent blood from one end unto the other, and when the devil, he says, no more can you bend your knees, then when Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith, and when we may have a little communion with that church of all ages by faith, then we may still pray. Then we may still bow our knees. And then we may still, by the Spirit of the Lord, see something of the blessedness of that sacrifice. That ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, and the depth, and the height. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. So Paul says, can you measure it? Can you measure it? Can you measure the breadth of it, the love of Christ? Can you measure the length of it? Can you see how deep it is? And can you see how high it is? And to know the love of Christ, the excellence, the beauty of it, how manifold is that love? To know how disinterested that it was when he gave himself even unto death, and that is to the death of the cross, to break that body and the self-denial, and to give himself even unto the end. Oh, the breadth and the length and the depth and the height. Oh, then he says it is something that passes knowledge, and yet he says that you may be able to comprehend it. How can we comprehend something that passes knowledge, that is impossible? No, he says, you cannot understand it. It is way too high. It is way too broad. It is way too long. It is way too deep. But he says that ye may be able to comprehend it, though you cannot comprehend it, that you may experience something of it. Paul ascends here. He goes higher and higher. And then he says, to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye may be filled with all the fullness of God. And there is now the end. The end for that church that may be in communion with him. That was your first desire, was it not? That ye may be filled with all the fullness of God. And now Paul speaks about a perfection, when sin shall be done away, and when that image which the Lord has put back in his church, that image, when it may now be perfected, and when the desires, they shall be so pure, and that there shall not be a sin that comes in the way, and when there shall be nothing, and that shall be able to separate them from the love of God. What a thought, what a contemplation, what a meditation, and that ye may be filled with all the fullness of God. And then Paul, he as it were, he doesn't know how to go further. And he says now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. He sees that it is so far above even what we can ask. It is so far above even that we can think, because of what was laid for away for that people, and that is not that which they are able to know here below. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. What a communion. What a communion that shall be. Amen. Let us sing Psalter 51, 1 and 3. Amid the thronging worshipers, Jehovah will I bless before my brethren gathered there. His name will I confess. 1 and 3 of Psalter 51, and afterwards the communicants may return to their seats.
Thank you.
beloved in the Lord, since the Lord hath now fed our souls at his table, let us therefore jointly praise his holy name with thanksgiving, and everyone say in his heart thus, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Who hath not spared his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, and given us all things with him. Therefore God commendeth therewith his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Therefore shall my mouth and heart show forth the praise of the Lord from this time forth forevermore. Amen. Let us now close with thanksgiving. O Almighty, merciful God and Father, we render thee most humble and hearty thanks, and that thou hast of thy infinite mercy given us thine only begotten Son, for a mediator and a sacrifice for our sins, and to be our meat and drink unto life eternal, and that thou givest us lively faith, whereby we are made partakers of such great benefits. Thou hast also been pleased that thy beloved Son Jesus Christ should institute and ordain his holy supper for the confirmation of the same. Grant, we beseech thee, O faithful God and Father, that through the operation of thy Holy Spirit, the commemoration of the death of our Lord Jesus Christ may tend to the daily increase of our faith, and saving fellowship with him through Jesus Christ, thy Son, in whose name we conclude our prayer, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Our closing psalter is number 371, in both stanzas. Behold, how pleasant and how good, that we, one Lord confessing, together dwell in brotherhood, our unity expressing. And what follows, 371. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.